Called me a big fruit, now I'm a big pumpkin. Well, I am a ginger, so I couldn't reflect the orange. If you guys need to go, I can do the blessing at the end. I don't know what your plans are for the day. I'm having a bit of a moment because I have great respect for Eric and having to do this twice in a Sunday morning, because usually when I speak, there's spiritual warfare afterwards. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what did you say? And sometimes Satan will use sound bites of what I said, and I'm like, did you explain that well enough? And you go through this process. But then there's this process too that I'm 47. And recently I've caught myself saying the same things over and over. And I've been telling the same story, the same joke, and I catch myself in the middle of it. It's like, I've already told that person that. Now I'm starting to look a little older, so I apologize. I say, man, I've already told you that. But here's the other side of my age, is I don't remember half the stuff I said just a little while ago. So I have no idea what's about ready to come out, other than hopefully it's similar to this morning. And hopefully so. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Father, we just rejoice, God, for what you're doing. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we capture what you're speaking today, Lord. It has so less to do about me and so much to do with what you're saying. And God, Lord, I just pray, Father, that every person here in the sound of my voice, God, will hear yours so much louder. And God, Lord, they will respond, Lord, to what you're speaking in their heart, God. Because, God, I pray that they walk out of here, Lord, knowing their purpose in life, God. Knowing who they are and what they're supposed to do. There will be no confusion, God, because you didn't author it. You're not the writer of that book. So, God, I just praise you this morning, God, as you're summoning your church, God. God, that this is an important time, God, in history. And Lord, there are things that hinge in the balance. And God, I pray, Lord, that we will take things with an urgency like we've never had before, God. God, because maybe we haven't taken things as priority, God, we'll have to prioritize. God, those things that are important and right. And God, Lord, forgive us in advance, God, for entangling ourselves in the affairs of this life and being so consumed, Lord, with life as we know it, God. So God, I just pray, Lord, as we go forward today, God, let us just be a family. Let us be encouraged and corrected by the Holy Spirit. And God, may, Lord, we respond to what you're speaking. To you be all the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. I shared a little bit this morning the fact that I appreciate Denny's kind words. I really do. I wasn't nervous this morning, because I haven't done this in a while, to be honest. But I wasn't nervous, then Denny billed me up as your favorite candy bar. He's pumpkin pie. I guess he's not going to repeat himself either. And I'm like, man, I hope some of them don't walk out thinking I'm a zero. Even though zeros are pretty good candy bars, or a Nutty Buddy or something like that, which there's some truth in that one. You know, payday is my... No, I'm joking, but... That being said, guys, it is a great honor to be in front of you. But guys, this—it doesn't matter who's in here. It's the Spirit of the Lord. That's the most important voice in the room, and you have to capture what He's saying. And I believe we're on the cusp of something of biblical proportions, something of history-shaking type of things. And in some pockets of the nation, I've seen the church rise, and in some pockets, I think we're still hiding in the four walls. And I want to share that with you. Before I want to do that, I want to just give you an illustration first of what God has done in us. If you'll share that photo, or one of them. Looky there, huh? Now, I said this the first service, so I'm going to repeat myself, because Rachel repeated her story, Denny repeated some of his jokes, so they're younger than me, so I can do it, right? I'm sorry, Facebook. I have to stay behind the Facebook pulpit, don't I? I got to move a little bit more, a little earlier, but not now. Okay, but look at that. Next month is Pastor Appreciation, right? And you celebrate that. But next month is my 20th wedding anniversary. Wouldn't that not be a nice surprise for my wife to go out and buy that for me, that bottom picture? I mean, I don't know what the 20th year material is, but I think metal and gasoline should fit in there quite nicely. I'm a truck guy. I'll be a car guy in that, right? All right, I'll take you all for a ride. We can leave some of the rubber on the pavement probably. But, man, the Bible says where two or three touch and agree, let it be established. So if a few of you just put a bug in her ear for me. All right. Come on, you guys got to loosen up a little bit, okay? Because I'm not ready to gouge you yet. All right. I want to put a little sugar on the medicine here so you can take it. All right. Here's another photo. Now, guys, I this might be more your speed. I don't know. I'm showing this because this is not the picture of what Christ has done for us. Come on now, look at the top picture, the before picture, the very fact that you started off looking like the bottom. Maybe not the same color, depending on what the restorer did, but you started off like the bottom. But then guess what happened? You learned very quickly as a child, me, 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 mine, 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 about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And then we start growing up through life. And then we have broken people telling us how to live broken. Right? And then we start to mount ourselves under the rust, under the destruction of what God originally created us to be, innocent and pure and holy before His sight. And we begin to see ourselves as the way that seems right to us through our own eyes as opposed to through the Word of God. And so here we are, we find ourselves later in life struggling with issues, struggling with life, can't get ourselves out of bed, trapped between our ears all the time, can't defeat our thoughts, can't live in victory, have no joy, have no peace. And then we're out here in the field somewhere left for dead. We're left for nothing. We have no use. We have no purpose anymore. And we mount this handwriting upon us of darkness, 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 sin, sin, sin. But God who's rich in mercy, right? Come on now. God who's rich in mercy, He sees us as that bottom. Come on, His sacrifice was 2,000 years ago. Think about the impact of that, that today you and I still get to receive that same mercy, that while yet we were sinners, Christ died for you and me. For God so loved the world, He did nothing. No, He sent Jesus. Why? Because He's a master. And some of you, I'm not that skillful. I'd like to have that skill. But some of you probably could do that. I can't. But somebody saw that vehicle in a field somewhere and they didn't see the junk. They didn't see the doors missing, the wires exposed, and everything broken and busted. They saw the vision of the beauty and the glory of what it could be again. That's what Jesus did for you. He saw the beauty and the glory of who you can be if you would just trust in Him and give your life away. Is it a process? Yes. But some of you are still busted and disgusted and you've been walking with Him for a long time. You look no different from the world because you refuse to see yourself as He sees you. Now, I'm big on mindsets. I am. You're one thought away from your whole life changing because it's the transformation of the mind. It's the renewing of the mind that brings about transformation. You continually see yourself as a certain way. You'll live out your own prophetic utterance. If you begin to see yourself as God sees you, you'll begin to shine like the heavens. Now, here's the point today, though. What good is this vehicle? What good is this vehicle if I get it? And Mandy buys me one of these, which I don't have. I'm not holding my breath for it because she would probably want something pretty shiny with a lot of carrots, okay? That's her business. But what if I took that, put a car cover on it, stuck it in the garage? No matter its luster and shine and glory right now, would it be useful? Come on, would it be useful? Guys, we were created for good works. And I am convinced that we cannot grow in Christ until, listen, you begin to obey the Lord. Until you get out on the highways and byways and start shining like God intended you to be. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Are you with me this morning? All right, good deal. Okay. Look, I said this in the first service. Let's just think of this as our living room, okay? A big family room. That's all we are. All right? Let's get past the walls, the structures, the organization. Let's just be family today and let's just talk straight so that we walk out of here changed. Because in all honesty, it would be disappointing to me for you to say, hey, great job, and then walk out of here and do nothing with what I say today. What would be impactful is what I say today, you take out here and exercise out in the world. Amen? Like I said in the first service, if this room is brightly lit and you bring in here and shine a flashlight, what purpose was that? You would just blend in with the rest of the light. There is such a safety in these walls, guys, that we have conformed our thinking to the fact that we are doing our just and due diligence by showing up on Sunday, hearing a message, and going home living our lives. And we compartmentalize God to a certain time of the week, and we just say we're going to go worship at that time, when worship is 24/7, 7 days a week, 365, where you're constant communion with Him, and your life is laid down, and you're a living sacrifice wherever you go, whenever you go. Here is just a time for us to come together, stir each other up with good works and love, that when we go out here, we're equipped to do the work of the ministry until all will know that Christ is King. Those that will hear, those that accept, those that will see themselves as what God wants to do in their life. But it's so safe in these walls, isn't it? All right, it's getting quiet. Verse 1 in chapter 2 of Ephesians reads, and you were made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And then that leaves us in that field, guys, all broken down, beaten, and destroyed. Right? Come on now. We just simply live our life sometimes by twisted scripture, wicked, by what people who we respect, why they say must be the gospel. And then we'll try the Word of God to see if it works. And if it doesn't work in our time, we go back to what we previous thought because it was safer. Come on, guys. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love in which He had towards us. Look, He saw you in the field. He saw you in your room. He saw you going down the road. And He kept calling your name. Because He wanted to restore everything that was wrong. And He has restored everything that's been wrong. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. Do we have to earn it, guys? Did that car be screaming out to everybody that come around that had the skillful hand? No. Cars don't talk. If they do, we need to have a conversation later, okay? Just joking, because Lightning McQueen talks, right? But, oh, come on, guys. Come on. He saw you. It's not about us working our way into Him. It's about what He did for us. We receive that. But it doesn't stop there, though, does it? It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? To sit in church, listen to a preacher, go home, live your life. Is that what it says? Come on. That's what most people do. That's what most people do. You are created for good works. It says, it goes on, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. Again, that car, whatever it is, it don't have to be a car. If it sits there and does nothing, it's not good for anything. Just to show off and look at. But it'll never, ever fulfill its purpose in life because it sits and idles and stays still. How many people are rutted today because of that very thing? So scared to walk into what God has for them. You're created, guys, for good works. There is a. There, let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I want to talk a little bit about the parable of the talents, and just for time's sake, I'm going to read about the one who had the one. But God gave talents to five. Gave a guy a talent, five talents. One, two, one, one. Right. The guy with five doubled. The guy with two doubled. But the one did what? He chose to do what? He chose to put the car cover on and leave it in the garage, knowing that when the master came back, he could pull the cover and see what God had given him. He hid his talent, did he not? Verse 24 reads, "Then he who received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. There, look, therefore you have what is yours.' But the Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew where I reap and I have not sown, and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have backed my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. He goes on to say, "For everyone who has... and who will be, and he will have abundance. But he who does not have, everything he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." She just said a while ago, good and faithful servant, well done, right? That's in this passage. It was the one who went out and labored with what God gave him. Come on. But the one who hid it, he treated him as if he was an unbeliever. There's a peril to us not doing what God has called us to do. We will stand before him and give an account. I'm not talking about your salvation. No, I'm talking about working with that. I'm talking about when we get saved, guys, we become like him because we're Christian, like Christ, right? He pours His Spirit in us. He's the model for us which to look at and how we should live, how we should move, how we should act. And we look unto Him and He gives us instruction. And He tells us and teaches us how to live our lives and to go out there and do good works because we were created for this very purpose. We always say we love Jesus, but there's a scripture that says, "If you love me, you'll keep my what? Commandments." We can't disavow. We can't divorce ourselves from the fact that there is obedience walking with Christ. Sometimes it costs you. A lot of times it costs you. But we don't want to sign up for that. We don't want to deal with that. We want to come in into the safe haven and stay there. Guys, listen, I've seen shirts that say created for worship, and you are. You are. It's a great shirt to have and own. Right? And being in His presence and staying in His presence is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. I agree with that. But at what point are you going to come out of the secret place and do what He told you to do in the secret place? You can stay and pray all day and talk about how much you pray. You can even brag about it, which is a little bit unprofitable. But you know what? Sometimes it's safe just to go pray about it instead of doing what God told you to do about it. Come on, I'm not coming down on you. I'm telling you, find your purpose today. Yesterday's gone. You can't do anything about it. Everything that has come against you and that you've done, you've messed up and you've blown to the one, to the two, to the three, to the four, and ongoing times. That is over. There's nothing we can do to change that. But what we can do today is make a decision to decide and get our mind renewed that we are created for good works. And if God is telling us something to do, we're going to be about the Father's business. I can't do that for you. I can't pray you into that. I could pray for you that you'd have courage and have a backbone and stand strong. Now, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment because of what we're going through right now, but I do believe we're on the cusp of something very huge. And I didn't even allude to this the first morning. There's those viral videos going around of Pastor Dana and his dreams. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but he's had these very vivid dreams about what's happening in the future in terms of what's going on in America. And some of it's pretty grim. But he did say in September that he saw the map of the United States flaring up and people praying. God is shaking us up to see if we're really, really who we say we are.
Yeah.
Because rubber is going to meet the road. I'm not prophesying persecution or anything like that. I don't want anybody to be harmed. But I want you to be who you are in that moment if you are persecuted. To be able to stand strong. My prayer is, I ask God, give me a backbone, God. Give me the courage to stand. Let me be the light in the darkest of dark. Look, I'm all about praying for protection. I'm all about putting the hedge of protection and those types of things. Amen? But I do not want to pray that prayer at the expense of not doing what God wants me to do. All right, let me say it again. I do not want to pray the prayer of safety at the expense of not doing what God is calling me to do. Sometimes you put your neck on the line. And we have been sheltered here in America because our friends and our family across the globe have been getting their heads kicked in and chopped off for the sake of the gospel. They're my inspiration. And hopefully with their sacrifice will make its way over here to America that we would see, we get to walk in a different place than they do. We have not even resisted to the point of blood. So we should be going harder and stronger because we have freedoms that they don't have. Is the church supposed to set the culture? Is the church supposed to set the climate? Are we supposed to sit and hide in our four walls and never do anything? I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're a part of here. Because this is a kingdom. And most kingdoms I ever read about growing up through history classes, they were very proactive in going out and spreading throughout the world. Boy, this is taking a different turn than this morning. Come on, guys. We're not to hide. We're not to put a bushel over our head. He meant these things, believe it or not. He wants to use you. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you haven't done. I'm talking about today. What are you going to do? If that's not enough, go with me to 2 Timothy. Guys, we're supposed to be arm in arm fighting this thing together. Look, I'm all about, listen, when I say this, I don't want to minimize one thing to elevate another thing in the Bible, okay? I want you to be blessed, highly favored of the Lord. But if that's all you want to hear, you're missing out on certain things. Because when the pressure comes, are you going to withstand or are you going to shrink back in your faith? Come on now. Pray some dangerous prayers. Like Craig Groeschel, I think that he is over there in Oklahoma. I think he's out in Oklahoma. Praying those dangerous prayers. God, I thank you that I'm blessed and highly favored, but yet also help me to stand strong in the strongest of oppositions. That God, if the whole room hates me, I'll still be that shining light of love. That I won't back down or bend down to anything that principalities or rulers of this air try to throw at me. And God, I will have the same mentality of Christ who was on the cross when he faced my mentality. A Father, forgive them for they not what they do. And God, I will let my good work shine so that God, you will be edified and glorified. Amen. That's the prayers we need to be praying. God, thank you for the new job, but also thank you in this job, God, that I will use it as a platform for your gospel and your namesake. Not just so you can pad my pockets and I have bigger barns and full vats. And God, you just increased and empowered me to be able to help in suffering because you've given me so much and blessed me so much I can bless other people that are in need and are hurting and are dying. That God, maybe if I touch their material things, God, that they would come open to God, what you want to do in their soul and set them free. That should be our prayer, right? Or I'm off, one or the other. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. And all these things which you heard from many witnesses, commit these faithful men who you'll be able to teach also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life so he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." I was telling them first service that I grew up on songs like "Onward Christian Soldier." You won't find it on a modern CD because maybe some people think it's cheesy, but you know what they were doing? They were preparing the body of Christ to say there is a war, and then get your boots on and it's time to stomp the devil. That was the mentality when we were singing these songs. Now, some people would walk out and they wouldn't think anything of it, but there were those who would latch on to that type of singing and say, "God, I am enlisted into this war. And what goes on around me and the cares of this life, I won't let it choke out the Word of God. And God, I certainly will entangle myself." That's why we're struggling, because we still got so much of this life we care about. I'm being honest. God has a promise for everything that's going on in your life, for your children, your children's children, and everything else. If you would stand on that, then you can go out and do good works and let God take care of it. The reason why you don't get the results is because you're still trying in your flesh to get a spiritual breakthrough. It's not going to happen. It never was. It was never meant to be like that. You release it to Him. You cast those cares upon Him, knowing that He's good, knowing that He'll take care of it, knowing that He's God and nothing's impossible with Him. Instead, we want to continue to worry and worry and worry. And we hurt ourselves, guys, and it breaks my heart that we do that. Because it just creates a cloud around our heart and just darkness in our soul. And we can't even see clear. We can't even see the light of day because all we see is rain cloud. And the forecast is gloom, it's doom. And when we should be shining like Him and looking like Him and not looking at there, because He is the general. And I want to please Him. And God, I know you got my family. I know you got my friends. I know you're taking care of the situation. So I give it to you this morning, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to shine like you told me to. Because you created me for this, God. Let's keep going. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. If the hard-working farmer was like some Christians today, the field would never have a seed in it. You would hire a guy. Does this sound familiar? You would hire a guy, call a pastor, and say, "Go out there and scatter the seed. We got your back. We'll go to our closet, pray a little bit, and then we'll go about our lives while you do all the work," which violates what God said in Ephesians about equipping you for the work of the ministry. Just imagine you combined with the early service, how many people that are here today throughout these walls under the sound of my voice, out on Facebook, if we joined together and said we're going to do good works this week, what impact would it have on our county and our region? Can we at least try it to see? Amen? Come on, guys. Let's go on down just for time's sake. Read the whole chapter. Listen, be a good Berean. Test everything, right? Go back and read it all. I'm just doing it just for your time and try to respect that. It says, be diligent in verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Let's jump on down to verse 20. But in a great house, there are only vessels. They're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, it was talking about people with idle and profane babblings, right? If you cleanse yourself of those things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared to be placed on the shelf to do nothing the rest of their life until they go to heaven. Is that what it says? Come on, I shared this, what she was sharing with... I'm sorry, camera. Sorry, Facebook. I want to move. When my life changed is when it became less about a destination, even though heaven is real and heaven is great. And I'm looking forward to that day, gathering around the throne with you guys forever and worshiping our King. I don't want to minimize that. And I certainly didn't want to make it sound like that the first service. But when it came about knowing a father is when my life really changed. It was because I prayed a prayer as a little boy because I was afraid to go to hell. That was the basis and foundation of my Christianity. Guess what I did after that? I lived life for Ray Anderson. Because I had my ticket punched, as they say. The train was moving and I had my ticket. And it wasn't anything to know about the Father. And I walked around like that old rusted car with no purpose. As a matter of fact, I was probably pulling people away from Christ as opposed to pushing them towards Him. Why? Because I was saying I was a Christian and living an altar life. I look just like the world. But yet I have Christ. Is it about transformation or not? Am I supposed to look different? Is there an old and a new? And then God started convicting my heart. That's when things began to change. He began to renew my mind on who I am in Him. And through that also my mind became renewed about sin. It wasn't a bunch of do's and don'ts. It was the very fact that sin was destroying everything about me. It was changing my view of who I am in Him. It was marring everything. My vision, my actions. Why? I couldn't see clear. I couldn't see past my failures to see Him. And then He opened my eyes one day. And I see myself as that restored vehicle. Do I blow it sometimes? Yeah, but I have an advocate before the Father. So do you. It doesn't change the course of my future that He prepared me for good work still. It means I stumble and I need to get back up. And I need to keep dusting myself off and keep moving forward. Look, I've had times, and I share my experiences because maybe it'll connect with you. And it's easier to do pick on me than it is to say things about you, anybody else. There's days I'd blow it, and it'd be 3 days before I can forgive myself. In those 3 days, do you think good works was coming out of me? What happened? Self-condemnation. So you know what I inherently did? In my self-condemnation, I became very selfish. Because now I was no longer about the people I'm around, having the mind of Christ, considering the interest of others over myself. It was about, I blew it, woe is me, sackcloth and ashes. And I had to punish myself in order to gain God's favor back. But there's a God whose love is four-dimensional. Long, wide, high, the length, the width. It surrounds me, His love. And instead of attaching upon that, I'm not saying you don't repent. I'm not saying you don't have remorse. I'm not saying not a broken, contrite heart is important. Because you should be broken over your sin because it's breaking you. I'm just saying, though, I can go a week sometimes for my failures. There's still people that are broken today because of something they did 20 years ago. They still hang on to that because the enemy keeps throwing that fiery dart and they keep sticking. And you can't do any good works because you're trapped into something that happened that will never be changed because you don't have a time machine. But you have the blood of Jesus. Forgive yourself. Amen? What did Eric preach on last week? Let's be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God has prepared you for a good work, ladies and gentlemen. Are you doing it? Yeah, but Ray, I don't preach. I don't. Stop. What is He telling you to do? Quit comparing yourself with anybody else. Find that hidden spot with God. We're going to pray here in a minute. We're going to let it extend some time. If you got to go, you got to go. But what is He telling you today? Or have you even asked? Or is it by the time He's about ready to share with you what He wants you to do, you've already prayed for all that you wanted to pray about and let Him hear all that you wanted Him to hear. And now when it's His turn to speak, it's time to go. Come on, am I the only one in the room that's ever done that? Maybe we're scared to hear what God is about ready to say because you don't know what it requires of you. See, we're so consumed with fear. Amen? And let me tell you a story. I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. Please don't take it that way. Please don't. Okay? I'm telling again on myself, just experiences that I've been through. Maybe it inspires you a little bit. I don't know. Maybe not. Throw it away. I was coming home from Jackson one night, and it was down there in the bottoms where there's not a lot of street lamps, so it was dark. And I saw a little flashing light going back and forth, and I didn't know what it was. I was like, this is kind of crazy. But if you don't see what it is, guess what's there? The unknown, right? Right? It's dark. I can't see everything. It's unknown. So I see this guy walking. And I drive past him, but before I passed him, immediately my heart engaged to say, I need to pick him up, take him home, or do something. And then I went for about another half a mile, warring in my mind and in my spirit. Scared to death to turn that car around. Because if you listen to fear, the guy has a gun, the guy has a machete, it's Jason Voorhees, something like that. I don't know. Horror film. I don't watch them, but I know who Jason Voorhees. Not anymore, at least. So your mind starts racing. Your heart starts pumping. Because God is requiring me to turn around. He's wanting me to. He's wanting me to love on that person. Or at least act of kindness, right? So I came down and I got going and I got thinking to myself, am I going to be Christian or coward? So I was like, okay, God, whatever happens, happens. I turned my car around. God was chill, nice, appreciative, and we got to talk Jesus all the way to His house. And if I would have gave in to the enemy, I would have kept on driving. It might not have mattered to him, but it mattered to me all the way home. I made a mistake. Remember back when we were doing Wednesday nights over at Eric's house, at the little table there, I saw a guy that looked frustrated in life, and my heart went to him. But I was like, I got to be at Eric's in 15 minutes. Isn't it sad that I chose to go talk about the love of God instead of demonstrating the love of God that day? I am telling on myself, shouldn't have done that. I've read a study before of this thing. It's been a long time ago, so if I'm unclear, forgive me, please. But they did a study of pastors going to preach and teach, and they put a homeless man there. And a large percentage of the preachers walked past the homeless guy on their way to the meeting to speak about the love of God and taking care of the poor, the hurting, and the mangled. When they had the chance to actively participate with heaven to meet a need. And I did that very thing. And I told them when I got over there, because I was feeling guilty, I'll be honest with you. And they're like, oh, you should have stopped. And that made me feel even worse. No, but I'm just saying, we're in such a hurry to get nowhere. And God puts people in our path that He wants to love on and use you and that He's prepared you for, prepared the moment, and wants to pour out His Spirit, pour out His love, even if it's a cup of water, guys. this is what I know. This is what I understand. You have 24 hours. I have 24 hours. Yes, they get jam-packed sometimes. But I've learned that people make time for the things that matter the most to them. People talk about how busy they are, maybe not so much today, but then they still get their 3 hours of TV at night. Because they got to have me time. I'm not saying you don't need to unwind, detox, and have some moments. I'm saying that if God has spoken to you to do something and you ignore that because you're about your agenda, you're missing out on what God wants to do. And you're saying to the Lord, no, I don't have time for that. And that goes against the very purpose of your life. You weren't created just to work for 40 years, retire, and hopefully have a place at the Sandals down in Florida and play golf the rest of your life. Nothing wrong with that stuff, but I hope that you're a light wherever you go. You're created. If heaven was it, why don't we get saved and just go there? Why are you still here? Your family needs you. Yeah, they do. They need you to shine the light for them. But it's not just for them. It's for everybody in your influence. He didn't never limit it to family. Did you ever see that in the scriptures? He says, shine. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. And we'll close it up. I think I went over. Oops, sorry. I think I went over the first one. I'm not used to this two thing. I thought I was doing good, and it was like, everybody's standing at the door. Sorry if I made you wait. I'm in Matthew 15. Sorry. You guys still with me? You're awful quiet.
Yeah.
Let's go back to 13. You are the salt of the earth. You. But then he goes on to say, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Well, if you're the salt and the salt loses its flavor, what happened? You expired. You stayed in the shaker the whole time. You're at the bottom, the residue. You didn't do anything. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Let that not be our generation. This is not about young and old. This is about people of God. It doesn't matter where you're at, who you influence. What is God saying to you? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Come on, now, if he wanted to do it all himself, why is he not? What did he choose to do? I didn't say this first service, but what were they doing back in the day when he ascended? They were looking to heaven as he went away. What did the angel tell him? Quit staring at the heavens. What are we doing today? Rapture? Oh, we're waiting. Are we reaching people? If we're really that close, where's the sense of urgency? Does he not want a full house or not? The master became angry because the banquet wasn't full. So he sent out workers, laborers. But then he said something in another passage. It says the laborers or the harvest is what? Plenty. The laborers are what? Few. Because we don't get the revelation that we are that city, that he's chosen to use us as honorable vessels, prepared for every good work. Ephesians, you're created for good works. You want to glorify God? Well, let's read. Now do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Maybe glorifying God is more than soft music and words to a song. Maybe it's you shining in the darkness. That they see the new creation that God created you to be, the restored person in Him, that when they see you, they bring glory to Him and edify Him, because if He did it for you, He could do it for me. And now my life can now have hope And my life can be changed. Why? Because in that moment, you made a decision to say, yes, I will shine and walk in the light as He is in the light. You have that choice. You can be about you, or you can shine. You can shine. I'm not saying go to every street corner, put a box down unless God tells you to. I'm not saying carry a cross across the nation. I'm not saying that. I'm saying is, what is God saying to you right now in this moment? Who has He been speaking to you about, to call, to write a letter, to go across the yard, to go across the street, or when you're in a gas station and your heart starts to beating, saying, hey, that person looks away. Or you see somebody, you got a single mom, you just know it, you talk to her, she's got six kids hanging around her, and you got a $100 bill in your pocket that you've been saving back, and what a precious, perfect time for you to pull it out and say, here, I want to bless you in Jesus' name. God can restore that $100 bill. It's not big to Him. What's big is when you decide to walk in your purpose and shine like the stars in the heaven, the old song says. Guys, it is time that we rise and shine as a church. We're going to find out who's hiding and who's not. Come on, there is something big on the horizon. I'm not here to try to get everybody's view on what's going to happen, because I'm sure it's multiple. I don't know your views about end times and those types of things. There's various things and all that. I do know that we're supposed to occupy until He comes. And that we're supposed to be ready. And that our lights are supposed to be turned on bright. And oil is supposed to flow from us until He returns. But if it's tomorrow, or whether if it's 100 years, like Eric says, I don't know. I don't know how bad it's going to get. I don't know everything that's going to happen. I know in this moment, though, we have a decision to make. So stand with me. Please. Sorry. Sounded very authoritative there. Oops. Sorry. I want us to take the next few moments and pray. But first of all, I want to make sure your heart's right with God. So if you just bow your head with me. I'm not here to embarrass you, but I do want you to take account what is said earlier. When you saw the pictures of those cars, those before and after pictures, that is what Christ has done for you. He saw something that no one else can see, and not even yourself can see what you could become in Him. He first loved you. You did not first love Him. He was proactive in His approach, that He was willing to step out of perfection to come and live in an imperfect place, but stay perfect so that you and I can live in Him. And not only that, He wants to put His Spirit inside of you and let you shine and grow. If you don't know Him, today is a perfect day to open up your heart and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I want to know You. I want You to show me Your love and experience Your love. I want God, to my mind and my heart to be open to Your message, to Your truth, God. Because God, I believe You got so much prepared for me. And God, I want to start following You. Jesus, I want to follow You. I want to take my nets and throw them down and walk as close to You as I possibly can. God, bring to me new life. Let all things become old that are old, God, be passed away and everything become new. God, open my heart to You, God. I give You my life. So if that's you today, just pray that prayer. You don't have to be the exact thing. You don't have to be the same. But just simply take the first step to Him and say, I want You, Lord Jesus. If that's you today, if you don't mind raising your hand, amen. Amen. He wants. He loves you. And look, if He first loved us, that means we have been the apple of His eye. We just have not had the eyes to see it all this time. Just open your heart to Him. Say, I'm going to follow You wherever You take me, wherever You go. The second thing I want to pray, and I'm going to ask you this, is, are you holding back? Have you been apathetic about what God is? You can go ahead and open your eyes because I'm going to look at you. Are you holding back? Are you holding back? It's time to pray a prayer of repentance. Look, everything's behind us. We can't change it. We can start in this moment right now. Like I said, it matters less hearing me today than it is you hearing God and going out these doors and out in the streets and be telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. No matter what the cost, that you're in it to win it, that you love Him more than this life has to offer. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to call everybody to pray today. This altar is open if you want to come. Some people came up here this morning. You can make an altar at your seat. Just posture your heart. And I'm not going to tell you what to pray, but I'm going to just kind of lead the prayer time for the next 5 or so minutes. And go ahead and kick that song, okay? Because we have to start battling, guys. Denny said, he talked about the Supreme Court justice. That's a big deal. Now, in the midst of all the doom and gloom that you're hearing, do you realize that 5 counties in Texas, I think I've heard, have made abortion illegal? God is doing something such at a big... But, I mean, sometimes a large ship is hard to turn. But I watched as 12,000 people showed up in Sacramento to worship Jesus. God's people are rising up. Some are, some aren't. Some are hiding in the four walls and just continually doing church. I watched as a man led a group of thousands of people in Seattle, Washington at that CHOP place where they had the anarchists there that took over those 6 blocks. And while they were worshiping, the groups were yelling and screaming and threatening them. But the more they got louder, the more they became emphatic in their worship because they didn't care what they were going to say. They didn't care what they were going to do. Why? Because when our eyes are locked on Jesus, we're not concerned about the peripherals. And the people were blown away because they said, with some explicitives that I won't repeat, they said, every time they get louder, they get more excited. Well, it's high time that people in Henry County start seeing the same thing. Those people have worshipped in Kenosha, as I said it right, Wisconsin. Is that the place in Wisconsin? They've had a big worship service there. People are waking up. Now the question is, are you awake? Are you awake? How about not on our watch that we're going to let the evil nature... Look, it's not the people, it's the principalities. When are we going to stand up and stand strong to say, not here, Satan?
Right. Not
here. We're in 10 days of prayer, but we're here. I don't know if you have somewhere you got to go, and I respect that. We're going to take a few moments. We're going to pray, and I want you to pray for the nation. I want you to repent. If you haven't been doing what God has been telling you to do, that you say you're going to do it immediately, and you're going to do it with all the strength that you have. And I also just want you to just pray for our leadership in this decision. I mean, I've already seen that they're already trying to bully. They're already trying to bully, saying that if he appoints President Trump another Supreme Court justice, they will burn this place down. And I don't know how long the Lord's going to tarry, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've been blessed to live 47 years, but my kids' future is that important to me. I know some of you have that same fears as parents, especially little bitty ones. What's their future? Well, let's set the climate. I get it. I understand. There's some things that God set in motion that maybe we can't change. But one thing we can do is we can keep fighting to the very end and keep loving people and keep shining until He calls us home. So you go ahead and play that. I'm just going to ask you guys, just start to engage in the warfare. This is the time for us to battle right now. Let's take this time. Let's use it. Come on, guys. Pray.